took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Well, welcome back to another episode of Glorious Day. I'm Pastor David, and I'm with my brother,
Pastor Barry.
Oh, man, this is great. Coming back together again and doing this. We have tonight, and we've touched on this theme for the last 2 years, really, from time to time, because we feel it's so important. The theme for tonight is to worry or not to worry. And
is the question.
That is the question. And I have a little reading I'm going to share with you from Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 33. So give you a moment or two to grab your Bible or Bibles if you like to do comparative studies and get them open. Matthew 6, 31 through 33. While you're doing that, keep in mind you can write to us. We have an email address. It's gloriousdayradio@outlook.com. Right, gloriousdayradio@outlook.com. We'd love to hear from you. Whatever you might want to offer. It doesn't have to be complimentary, although every third email we'd love to be.
We just want your honesty and your input.
Yeah, and maybe ideas, you know, maybe say, have you ever thought about doing a program on this scripture or that theology or whatever? And, you know, we welcome
we
your
love
ideas.
That kind of stuff, sure.
We do. So, do not hesitate. So far, Barry, and among our various and sundry listeners, there's been a lot of hesitation.
Has there?
Yeah. I got one email from a listener back several months ago, Joel, I think. And Joel, if you're listening, thank you for that.
Sure.
You stand alone as the only person who's reached out to us. But, you know, maybe that'll grow. Maybe it's going to take 20, 30 years on the air for that to, you know, build a listenership.
And how
like
will
that.
We be in 20 or 30 years?
All I know is they're going to have to do this from the nursing home. It's going to have to be a live remote.
Are you going to be my roommate?
Yeah, maybe so. Why not? That way we can record without even getting out of bed, right?
I like that.
Anyway, to worry or not to worry, and we have a reading now from Matthew 6, verse 31 through 33. Jesus said, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As I read this, as we were putting these notes together for our program tonight, and I remember, you know, in the history of my walk with Jesus, which is quite extensive, 40-some years, I didn't do this very well, but over time, the Lord was gracious to lead me to the fact that, you know, he's always trustworthy. He's not like any human being I've ever known. Even the best of them have let me down. But God never does. So, at some point in this journey, I just said, okay, God, I'm tired of worrying and going through a season of great anxiety in the past, too, which I tell you what, folks, I understand if you're in anxiety right now, give it to God, as I had to do, because it's horrible.
Yeah, it destroys you piece by piece.
Yeah, really. Yeah,
and destroys your peace, yeah.
But really, to worry or not to worry is a choice. I chose as a believer to worry a lot. And the bottom line was the enemy gets you to see what's going on in the world. And a lot of time that's happening in your checking account or your job, which is related, or in your family. If there's enmity, anger, whatever, or out in the world generally right now, I mean, you don't have to go too far to find a whole long list of things to make you anxious, to make you worry.
Just put on the tube and...
Exactly. And then you can go to your doctor and get antidepressant medication. But if you're on that, I'm not being disparaging of it, because some God does send some people to do that. But the point being is that God is saying to us, you know, give it to me, give it to me. Because what does Jesus say about his Father? Well, the Heavenly Father knows you need all of those things. So what is your, and this is our first priority, right, Barry? You know, you've seen that in here, the, what is it, verse 33, but seek first. Boy, those words really jump out. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Well, in Scripture, when Scripture uses the phrase kingdom of God, really talking then, really focusing in on Jesus.
And what I love about this is, on the one hand, we get the statement from Christ saying, from Matthew, and he's telling us that Christ said, what shall we wear? What shall we drink? What shall we eat? And it's full of, like you said, anxiety.
Yeah.
But it always follows up with the promise of God, the comfort and the instruction. This isn't a suggestion, but seek first the kingdom of God. It's instruction.
Yes.
If you're in deep prayer and you're having that intimate, deep moment with Christ, I don't know about you, David, but I can't worry about the starter in the car or the funny noise that the air conditioner is making. And that's way outside of the sphere of this zone that we create when we go into that deep prayer with God. And that's the cure. That's what you got to do. People who do not have a prayer life, believe it or not, David, there are believers out there, but their prayer life is dormant.
Or never got started to begin with.
Yeah, maybe they just sat down and said, okay, I'm saved, I'm done, and I'm just going to sit here and wait.
Wow, yes, I know.
And what kind of relationship building is that? And as you drift and you get away farther and farther from knowing the voice of the Father, then the world starts to crash into your life, and you try and handle it with your own power.
How well does that work for you folks?
Well, my right arm is pretty strong, but my left arm's not. And I don't have any superpowers. And, you know, it's funny, as pastors, we all sit with the folks and hear their stories. Whatever you want to call that, some people call it confession. Some people just say, you know, they just wanted to check in with their pastor and see if they're on the right path. One of the first questions I always ask these folks is, when was the last time you prayed? And did it stop at some point, and why? And it's a funny question. When people come to you in pain, they don't want to be going through a test, a series of questions, but we, as shepherds, need to find out where they made that left or right turn to drift away, to drift away, to drift away. I have a story of a guy who was very, very successful, David. He had the three cars in the garage. They were all new. Four-bedroom home with the pool, all the stuff. Very successful man, but he had a chink in his armor, and that was he was a secret alcoholic.
Oh, I know all about that.
And when he was going through the throes of alcoholism, it's got to come out somewhere, and he began to lose focus on his work, his job, his wife, his kids, and the end result of all that, and him trying to handle this on his own, was that he was homeless, lost everything, job, family, house, and was living in the woods. When I met him, he was sitting like underneath a palm tree in front of this homeless shelter. But he had a shirt on that cost more than mine. It was dirty, wrinkled, but he had little leftover stuff from the old days. And he told me something that was very inspiring. He said, I'm not worried about anything. Anything. He said, what got me here was not trusting God and doing everything on my own. And it took him losing everything to find out that he never really had control in the first place.
Absolutely.
And when he handed all that over to God, the drinking stopped. There was a healing going on, and he wanted to get his life back on course, but this time with God.
And that's the only course that works, is with God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we see some people, and they don't know the Lord they will tell us quickly they don't know the Lord. Their lives seem to be well put together.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the image. That's the hype, the mm-hmm. exterior, that thin veneer of success, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
that guy's not worried about anything. Look, he's doing great.
Yeah, until, but deep down inside, the places where you don't see him mm-hmm. struggling, and at some point, everyone like that, sooner or later, is going to hit a point where they begin failing, because if God didn't put your life together,
mm-hmm.
and he wants to, he has God has the perfect idea of who we should be.
Right, our authentic person.
The authentic
mm-hmm.
person. And if your life, I tell you, there's Christians and non-Christians, so I'm speaking to everybody. You think you're a believer or not, but if you haven't really submitted your life to God, then no matter how good it looks on the outside, you'd be ready. I'm telling you now, I'm not going to be happy if I see it happen to you, but be ready for a dismal failure. It's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're operating on your own wisdom, you are not operating on the wisdom that's going to bring you from, is going to raise you up, that's going to bless you.
Right. You basically set yourself up for failure without realizing it.
Exactly. Yeah. So
yeah,
that's the bottom line, and why end up people worrying. When mm-hmm. I did my, and I'm still in seminary, the first summer of seminary, I had to work in a hospital or some other type of environment mm-hmm. for 12 weeks. They call it clinical pastoral education. And it was quite the experience, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I worked in a hospital up in Barrington, Illinois. And it was the Good Shepherd Hospital. It was a Christian-based mm-hmm. company, a faith-based company that owned four of these hospitals up there. And so the chaplain was an ordained pastor, and also our supervisor. There was four of us in the class, and we got to know him and got to know him rather well. We became good friends. And Barrington is a rather wealthy area up there north of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of big money people, CEOs and CFOs and anyone with three letters after their name kind of thing. And so, and he said, you know, in addition to being a chaplain at the hospital, I also help assistant pastor a church. Mm. And he said, I get into a lot of these homes as a pastor. He said, David, you would be surprised. How many of these people, you know, vice presidents, presidents, people with big money coming in, have big homes, a lot of the obvious wealth, and they're just lost. They live in darkness all the time. They're afraid all the time,
right,
of losing
right.
that. They have no peace, you know, which sort of crashes the idea that, you know, money can buy you happiness. No, it can't buy you happiness.
Can. And, you know, we see it.
Yeah.
The body of Christ sees it. But I think part of that, too, David, is pride, if not all of it.
A lot of it.
Pride.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You know,
yeah.
I went to the best business school, and I'm making all the right choices, and
yeah.
you know, I got things under control.
Oh, but yeah. if you don't have Jesus, your control is really very precarious.
Mm.
It always will be. Whereas Jesus, you know, he's perfect, right? He's God, so if you give your life to him, now he's going to make some changes. And so right away, all your worries may not go away. Because the first thing that I think most people worry about when they consider receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior is losing control.
Mm-hmm.
And that, especially for us guys, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what does the enemy say? And I've heard so many people parrot this in their reasons why they're not believing Christians. Says, well, I could do that, I guess, but then I wouldn't have any fun.
That's right.
You know?
There goes my weekends, my Saturdays on the boat. Doing
yeah.
things.
Drinking myself
doing.
To death.
Yeah.
You know, working myself to death. All those things. Oh, they're so much fun. And I've been both places.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say, just from that one experience, my own life experience, until you have Jesus, you've never had the most fun you'll ever have in your life.
Amen.
You know, and I'll tell you, and I was a drinker. You know that, Barry.
Yeah.
I drank enough to keep Dewar's Scotch in business and even keep their stock high.
That was kind of you to do that.
I know.
You're just trying to help.
And then I went to a lot of parties, and those people to make those little pigs in the blanket, I
yeah.
kept them going too. but the point, I laugh, and this is my joy from the Lord in having delivered me from all that.
Mm-hmm.
That, yeah, you know, a lot of people, they think about, well, if I'm a Christian, I can't drink, I can't smoke, I can't do. Well, now let me tell you something else. Is God delivered me from tobacco and alcohol, but long after I came to Christ.
Things that were harming you.
He was harming me. And other people had a different idea than God did about where he wanted to work first in my life.
I think, right.
And he'll always get to the things that he needs to in his time. Mm-hmm. You know, so if I met the Lord in 1976, it was 1991, I was delivered from tobacco, and 2003 delivered from alcohol. Praise God. That was his time.
Mm-hmm.
And but for all of that, now I'm not saying that if you become a Christian, he's going to be easy on you. Because that was his plan for me. He had other stuff he had to work on. We're talking deep spiritual stuff.
Right.
He's getting all that deep spiritual stuff, if it's not dealt with, gives you the reason to cause to worry. Because you're afraid.
Well, there's that word. Fear.
Fear.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. The things we worry about, we worry because we're afraid of whatever we're worrying about, whatever might happen to us, because if it happens, oh my God.
But then fear is, you know, in your walk, then that's followed by trust. It's much easier to fear than it is to trust.
Absolutely.
You could be afraid of everything. In particular, I don't like mice, rats, I don't like snakes. I don't like anything that makes a noise in the attic.
You know, if them creatures developed a coalition, you'd really be in trouble.
I know.
You know, like the Israelis trying to hammer a government together, or the British, right?
Right.
And anyway, I don't think that's going to happen, just let me say.
Okay.
They have to be sentient for that to occur.
Very good.
Just so you know, that won't happen. But no, I understand. And I guess what we're trying to say to people, listen, we all start worrying. I mean, God hasn't taken away from me or you, Barry,
mm-mm,
the ability to worry. That's, I think, a deep part of our humanity.
But we have the confidence, and we have the track record to prove it,
yeah,
that God is trustworthy, and he'll never turn his back on us. He'll never, you know, forsake us.
Never.
And he has an active interest in us.
And when we give that worry to him, you know, worry comes, mm-hmm, instead of playing with it like I used to do, which is very anxiety producing. Some worries, you know, like I'm telling you, I inherited from my parents because they both children of the Depression. I mean, big one, you know, the 1920s and into the 30s. And they learned, you know, they struggled every day. You know,
mm-hmm,
my dad had three jobs part time, but he made enough to supply, you know, money, and then things got better later. But they grew up with this scarcity mentality, and money was always an issue.
Mm-hmm.
They were afraid. My dad was making good money, and my mom worked when we had to for extra special stuff. But mm-hmm, we never, you know, missed a meal, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
That's why I had to buy Husky jeans when I was a kid.
I had Huskies,
you
too.
Did you, too?
Yeah.
I mean, I almost felt embarrassed. You know, mothers will embarrass their kids. Well, you're such a big kid, we're going to have to go in here and buy pants. Oh, the whole store knew that. You might as well get on the intercom, for crying out loud. But anyway, but you know, we're worriers by nature.
Sure.
But these days, and I can't say I'm perfected this, but more often when something pops up that would say, yeah, you need to worry about this, I go to God, and this is what verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be all the things we really need.
Because
mm-hmm, when you're worrying and you're thinking about the needs that might stop that reason, mm-hmm, for worrying, you're not thinking clearly. You're thinking in your man mind or your woman mind, you know, your
irrational,
human mind.
Irrational.
God is not speaking to you, mm-hmm, and giving you strategies. You have to stop, put that in a little package in prayer, and imagine yourself handing that horrible, leaking, black package of worry to God,
mm-hmm,
or Jesus. Let him stand in front of you. I've helped many people that's doing spiritual counseling.
Right on the cross, you just put it
right
there.
In his hands,
mm-hmm,
and he will take it from you, really will. And then he'll worry. He won't worry either, but he'll fix it. Whatever your need is,
mm-hmm,
he won't do it using your strategies, however. He has his own.
He does have his own. And like you always say, David, we have a plan, but his plans are much better,
mm-hmm.
much richer in spiritual concerns, much better. I pray with people who want just this done, you know, whatever this little thing. I just wish God would just, this one little thing, my husband's left bicep seems to be torn. If he can just fix that one little spot. Yeah. I said, okay, well, first of all, he made that spot.
Yeah.
He knows how to fix it. You know, right. Has your husband asked?
Yeah.
You know, people need to get on their knees again, David. I think in the world, the way we see it now, it's almost easy to broad brush it and say, I think everybody's prayer life has gotten a little stale.
Yeah.
And that's not true. I mean, I'm still inspired by people that I see in my job and, you know, in the stores wherever I go, and you spot another Christian, you just have that radar, you know, and spontaneous prayer breaks out.
Always. It's so wonderful.
It's still alive and well, but you can get so discouraged and worried and full of anxiety just watching the news at night.
And I don't do that much, and I discourage people from being newsies like mm-hmm. that. You need to know what's going on. But earlier on, Barry, you mentioned the fact, and we both agree with this point, that people need to pray more. And I'm saying Christian people, mm-hmm. you know, unbelievers may, or they'll probably pray when they see the meteorite heading, flaming ball of
right
metal.
Right into their convertible
heading
car.
Where they can't move, you know. And so they go, oh, God. You know, that's the two words that come out mm-hmm. before the meteorite hits. But when life gets that way. But why, you know, Christians, I don't know. I'm going to say this, and I don't know. But if you're a church goer, and I praise God for that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you go to, is the only time you pray, I mean, really get with God and relationship is when you're in church, when you're going through the worship service and participating in all the prayers that the congregation right. does? Is that the only time you're really praying? Because there's a much more significant moment that we can be with God privately in our homes. You know, my prayer closet is actually a recliner. You know, my prayer recliner, and I get on my knees too, believe me. But for general times of prayer and Bible study, I get in my room, close the door. I may put on some music, mm-hmm. earphones, and I just open the Word. I read, sometimes reading the Word, you know, something pops up, and that leads me to prayer. Gives right. me the language, you know, the focal point of prayer. And I'll just sit there, and I'll just be with Jesus.
I do the windshield time. Because I have a little bit of a drive.
You do.
One of my offices I have to go to. And it's about a 36-mile drive. A lot of time to talk to Jesus. And sometimes it really helps in traffic when everybody stops.
Yeah, really.
So I'm really appreciating the fact that
Do you mean to tell me you're praying for gridlock? You're praying for creeping traffic?
But my dear friends, you know, we're told to seek continuous prayer. It doesn't have to be memorized, formal, you know, a cadre of verses that you say 1,600 times a morning. No, just go talk to the Lord and then listen.
Yeah, listening.
And listening.
Becomes more critical.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was one pastor who was, he wrote, I forget who it was now, read so many of these books, but this one thing stuck with me. He said there's a lot of different forms of prayer and there's nothing wrong with any of them. But he said, for me, he said, most of the time, especially when I'm in trouble, or in worry, I just go to a quiet place and I just say, Jesus, you know, praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, I love you. Thank you so much. I praise you. I give you glory, Lord. I just know that you're there for me. And I do that. And I'll tell you, what a tremendous, I have a quick story. I just remembered a quick story.
Go for it, David.
I know our time is slipping away, but now, if you've any listened to us any length of time, I've shared my old self over from time to time, and in the old self did worry a lot. And mm-hmm. on the top of my list, there were two things that were particularly worrisome. One was running out of money.
Okay.
The other one was breaking down on the highway. So that did happen to me. If you know, when you're young and you can't afford much, you get these cheap rattle traps that, you know, if it weren't for the smoke, they'd actually be able to see your car when you're moving down the highway. But anyway, so fast forward to about 4 years ago, I was driving to Lakeland to have Thanksgiving with the family. My wife had gone ahead. She had some other things to do there. So driving along, and as I'm getting off of the turnpike onto the exit ramp to go into Yeehaw Junction and pick up 60, my car starts jerking like it's not well. And it would go forward, and then it would slow down. And my speed was going down, and I'm on the ramp, and I'm suddenly praying, Lord, just help me get to a place where I can pull off, because I'm in the middle of this off-ramp.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he was able to get me to a point, still on the off-ramp, but I'm in a wide space near a guardrail. I pull over and turn off the engine, and then it won't start. So
Anxiety City.
Oh, man. Well, for a moment, I said, I didn't use any bad four-letter words.
That's good.
But I said, oh, Lord. That's a good one. Oh, my. That's a two-letter word. But then immediately the Spirit of God came and comforted me and said, get out of your car, go lean on the guardrail, call AAA, which we have.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that. And then they sent somebody out and said, it will take about 40, 45 minutes. So the car's off the road, the blinkers are going, I'm sitting on the guardrail just waiting for the AAA guy.
Mm-hmm.
Highway patrolman comes by and stops, says, you okay? Said, yeah, I called AAA. He was happy with that, so he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
But during that time, instead of me being anxious, sweating bullets, God just led me into a season of prayer. And I prayed. I began to be thankful. I was celebrating. I was praising God. People getting off the exit might have thought that I was having a spasm, our hands in the air. But now here is the plan of God in all of this.
All right.
The record driver pulls up, hooks me up, takes me back home to Palm City.
Mm-hmm.
And this was Thanksgiving. Now I'll tell you another story, addendum. But while I was back, I got to witness to the record driver and pray for him. And that was so powerful. And then we got back, and I had him tow it to my favorite garage. And of course, they were closed, but the owner happened to show up.
Just
and he
like
gave
that.
Me a ride home.
The owner of the shop?
Owner of the shop. Great guy.
But God had you in the palm of his hand.
But the whole thing was God had a bigger plan. I prayed. I was not anxious. I was worshiping on that exit ramp, sitting on the guardrail, raising my hands in praise for that whole time.
God is so good.
Well, my story has led us to the end of this program, Barry.
Oh, that was fast.
I know it was. But we have time for a rapid but profound prayer. Would you like to offer that?
I would love to.
Okay.
Oh, Holy Father, you're a loving Father. You only want what's best for us. You are the perfect parent. Mm. And to see your children crying out in worry and anxiety and in fear, it must stir the heart. And I just love, Holy Father, the way that you respond. Like David's story, you respond by filling us up with the Holy Spirit's peace and the affirmation that you're always there, that you never, ever leave us alone.
Amen.
Leave us to our own power. So, Lord, we just thank you tonight for always watching over us and caring for us. We trust you. We love you.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we'll be back with you next week. Have a good night.
See you then.
Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified.
And receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move.
And his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
Open the eyes of the blind.